There's a new project in town, and it is set up to cover our community. Good morning. I'm Patrick Campion, and this is your community NPR station, 89.1 WEMU. And the project I'm talking about is On the Ground Ipsy. It's from Concentrate Media, and they've been around for a few weeks now. But in case you didn't know what they're doing or where the work is or how to find them, we brought in the resident expert on all things On the Ground Ipsy, Brianna Kelly. Good morning.
Good morning.
Can you tell us again who you are and what you're doing?
I'm Brianna Kelly. I'm the project manager for On the Ground Ipsy. So I'm embedded in the community, working and living in Ipsy, keeping my ear to the ground, attending community events, connecting with residents, and trying to figure out, you know, the stories and issues that Ipsy residents want to see told.
ConcentrateMedia.com. Mm-hmm. We can also find you on Facebook. It's Concentrate Media Ann Arbor on Facebook.
It's Concentrate A2.
Okay, Concentrate A2. And you've got the community newsroom going today?
Yep, from 4 to 7 at Hope Clinic.
At Hope Clinic. Okay, so today 4 to 7. And then anytime people can reach out to you if they have ideas, Facebook or email, or contact you through ConcentrateMedia.com. Cool, because the idea is the stories are coming from you. They want you really involved as a member of our community with wanting to know more about something, being frustrated about something, being curious about something, having unanswered questions. Those are the seeds that we use to develop the stories that we pursue. And that is kind of the whole notion behind On the Ground Ipsy. So you brought a pal today. You made another friend?
Yes, I did.
All right.
Constantly making friends.
Who is this friend?
Zach Fossler. He's from the Ypsilanti Housing Commission.
All right. And if you're keeping score at home, Brianna's on my left and Zach's on my right. So Zach, it's a lovely blue shirt you're wearing this morning.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. And what is your job with the Ypsilanti Housing Commission?
I am the executive director of the Housing Commission.
And what is the Housing Commission?
We provide affordable housing opportunities to folks in the city of Ypsilanti and surrounding areas.
And there's that word again, affordable. So what in your world does affordable housing mean?
Affordable housing means housing that is more affordable than most in a community for us.
Right, and from Ypsilanti's perspective, there's a different definition, I would assume, for affordable than in some other parts of the county.
Surely. An affordable unit in Ypsilanti and compared to an affordable unit in Ann Arbor could be vastly different.
And last week, I had the opportunity to sit down with one of our county administrators, Conan Smith, and talk about the Viridian Farm project. And then we discussed, really, which was interesting to me, the differences in how to view average mean income in our county. And I guess for a family of four, it's $70,000. That sounds like a pretty decent sum of money, but when you look at it, that means two full-time people or two workers working full-time in a household making $15 each to get to 80% of the average mean income in our county. That doesn't really sound realistic for a city like Ypsilanti.
No, I would say it doesn't.
All right. So you're looking at people that are either income free because they're transitioning into a place where they need to get income, or they have substantially low income, or they need housing assistance because they have small children, then they don't have, things like that. That's the kind of people you're working with, are people that are looking for a place to call home now and then a transition into something better down the road.
Sure. So we house people anywhere from zero income for reasons like you mentioned. Other reasons could include disability just being elderly. And all the way up to, we have households that make decent money, and we have units that aren't subsidized but are still affordable.
Who did you talk to besides our buddy, our new friend Zach?
I talked to Marquand Jackson, who leads the Family Empowerment Program. I talked to a couple of residents, one who lives in New Park Ridge and previously lived in Park Ridge Homes, and then another woman who lives in Hamilton Crossing.
And I ask you this every week, but was there kind of a common thread among these conversations about what they feel affordable housing needs are in the county, or what they're looking forward to moving forward? I mean, is there a sense of optimism, a sense of hope, or is it just, we're making do with what we've got? I mean, what were people talking to you about?
Well, the residents I spoke with, they seemed really happy with the facilities that they are currently living in. They're clean. They have lots of different resources. And they both expressed a desire to eventually be able to get on their feet and provide housing for themselves.
Let's talk about that, Zach. That's an excellent transition. you're starting to pick up on the cues.
Yes.
The more you do this. Park Ridge to New Park Ridge obviously was a big transition for the city. It's a much more modern facility. Just in driving by it, you can see it's a much more modern facility. But what were some of the goals or things we do see and things we don't see for a newer project like that?
Sure. When I started at the Ypsilanti Housing Commission, one of the things that was very clear from the board and my perspective both was that we wanted to provide housing that people could feel proud to live in. And that was not the case with the existing public housing. And so some of the big changes that we've made, you know, we met with public housing residents before we even started this project to talk about what they didn't like about the site, what their concerns were, what they'd like to have. And what we heard was the biggest concern was safety. We had the way the buildings were laid out, there was courtyards in the middle of these sixplex buildings that would all face inwards. And so you had these community spaces that people would just congregate in, generally people who didn't even reside at the property. And so there was some violent crime, drug activity, all kinds of things going on in these areas. And so we really wanted to eliminate those types of common spaces that were hard to police because they were either dark or just hard to see from the street, and also give people a sense of ownership over the space where they live.
It kind of sounds, too, from what I've seen, that you're trying to give people more than just a place to lay their head. You're trying to enrich their lives by offerings that are there in that that small piece of the community.
Yeah. So in addition to providing people with defensible space, you know, their own front yard, their own backyard, an area where they can say, this is mine, and it's very clear that someone shouldn't just be hanging out on their front porch, we also provide a vast array of resources for residents. So we partner with Eastern Michigan University in a program called the Family Empowerment Program, which does provide on-site full-time social workers to our residents. And what they do is help coordinate. There's a vast array of resources in the county already. And so they partner with a number of nonprofits to bring resources to our residents that really already exist.
And the goal for people that are living there isn't that this is their permanent home, right? They're trying to transition into something else. Or is that not universally true? Or, you know, give me an idea of, does everybody come in with their own unique goals?
I would say people come in with their own unique goals. So we have folks that certainly, if we have an able-bodied family that just isn't working, we're going to do everything we can to help them obtain an education or get into work. But if we have a family that comes in where they're the disabled head of household or is an elderly head of household, we're not focusing so much on getting them into work. We're just focusing on improving quality of life and making sure that they're connected to the resources.
I've seen a lot of primary critique of public housing, not just in our area, but across the country on the whole, that sense of ownership you talked about didn't really exist. These giant high-rises that are billion little apartments thrown together in a giant building in the middle of a city kind of just were a place for people to congregate. They weren't actually a home. It sounds like the goal now is you want people to, even if this is a transition housing or if it's a permanent housing facility as well, that you want them to have a real pride in where they live and a sense of ownership.
Absolutely.
What does that do for the community?
Well, what it does is it makes for a safer community and it makes for residents that know one another. And so people are, you know, as far as resident issues between themselves, things get a lot better, you know, when they know each other, their neighbors. And as far as reporting activities that are on the site, you know, when you know they can recognize easier when someone is on the property that shouldn't be or when someone's up to no good, they're more likely to report that. And so, yeah.
The places you're working with now, too, the facilities, they're primarily Section 8 housing, right? Is that true or...
So, yes, primarily Section 8. We converted through the HUD's rental assistance demonstration and resulted in a Section 8 contract, and so yes.
We hear a lot that Section 8 housing has a space deficiency, that there's long waiting lists, that it's hard to get into, even if you're well qualified. You know, how does your organization react to a situation like that?
So I'll be the first one to say we do have long waiting lists. Currently have closed waiting lists because we reach a certain point. We don't like to let our waiting list go past where it may take someone 1 to 2 years to get in. And so we would just cap that off and not accept any more. For example, the last two waiting list openings we had for both New Park Ridge and Deborah Strong Housing, we received 1,400 applications in a week.
And once you get to a certain point on the waiting list, is there ever a point where you can tap into federal monies or state monies or county monies and build another housing project?
So we're actively looking for additional opportunities all the time. So really, I'm looking for my next site and looking for the next deal that we can make work and so we can bring more affordable housing to the city.
Now, you've been here about 4 years now, right?
That's right.
What is the best thing to you about living in Ypsilanti or being in Ypsilanti, being part of this community?
This is a very small town with a lot of really cool people and a huge array of just diverse people. I really like that about this place.
All right. It gives it a little unique character and
Absolutely.
Quality. That's for darn sure. Brianna, thank you. Let's see. Community newsroom again today.
4 to 7 at Hope Clinic. And we'll be there next week, too, next Wednesday from 4 to 7.
And if you can't be there in person, you can participate through Facebook, through your Facebook Live interviews, this and the other emails and chats and all that stuff you got going on there.
Yeah,
on
we'd love to hear
media.
From anyone who wants to reach out to us.
I've heard you're all over the internets on the line.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
These modern kids these days. Brianna Kelly from On the Ground Ypsi from Concentrate Media. Thank you so much for being here today. Zach, thank you for coming and representing the Ypsilanti Housing Commission. Appreciate your input.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for being part of the project as well. We really appreciate our community partners. This is 89.1 WEMU. I'm Patrick Campion.